Friends, roadies, countrymen, and all listeners around the world, here we go again. It's me, J.E., John Edmund, once more. And this month, it's Father and Son Month. So, over to the younger set. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. Grant Edmund here once again, and welcome back to the John Edmund podcast sessions. As you know, I'm John's oldest son, and one of the other musicians in the family. So today we're going to talk about the time, I think it was the early 90s, where John entrusted me to take over reins as his producer, and we're just going to talk about some of the albums that I've done since then. At the time, John was recording a lot of his stuff with one of South Africa's top arrangers and producers by the name of Mike Pilot, and Mike was very famous for doing all the Springbok hit albums and a lot of other big stuff at the time. And the first album that I managed to produce was the famous Zim Songs album. And what actually happened was Mike Pilot was busy with another production and he couldn't get it out in time, the time that John wanted it to be released. So he said to me, right, I'll give you a go. And it was myself and my production partner, Mr. Costa Nicholas. And because he had a beautiful studio down in Jan Smuts Avenue called Pro Song Studios. So John sent us all the demos on a cassette. In those days, you'd record it on a cassette, put it in the post when that still worked, and sent it down to us, and we got cracking on the album. In those days, we were still recording what we refer to as analog, so it was still going on to tape. And we had a 16-track machine in the studio, so we had to carefully arrange all the songs that we could get as many instruments on the 16 tracks to make it sound like a really big production. Anyway, we continued and did the first song, laid it down, and on that we used Mr. Colin Heaney on drums. Costa played bass, and I played all the guitar parts on there. Then we got in a great, great keyboard player called Peps Kotomoche, and Peps did all the keyboard stuff for us. And we finished the first song, which was The Bridge of Steel. Now, on The Bridge of Steel, I managed to rope in Dave Abbott and Henry Crabb from the famous Abbott and Crabb to come play fiddle and banjo on that. And one of South Africa's top comedians, who is also a great singer, Mr. Tony De King. So we roped these guys in to save a bit of money on the budget and did the first one, mixed it down and sent it off to John and waited for a response and waited patiently because we had to wait for the post for the cassette to get sent up to him. And after 3 days he phoned and he said, guys, that really, really sounds nice. And I was so, so relieved. The next song that we laid down was a really great track that Dad had written all about the rafting down at Victoria Falls, and it was called The Great White Water. And while we were laying the track down, Costa's brother Jimmy Nicholas came in. Now, Jimmy is probably rated as one of the greatest rock guitar players to come out of South Africa. And Jimmy said, why don't you let me put some nice rock guitar on this track? Anyway, we did a take and we put it on, and Costa said, I'm telling you now, John's not going to be happy because it's a really, really hard rock sort of sound that Jimmy got there. Anyway, we said, all right, all we can do is if he doesn't like it, we can just pull the guitar out and put something else on. Anyway, did it, sent it off to John, and he phoned us straight away after he listened to it and he said, I really love it. So that was like another relief. So we continued with the rest of the songs in that album, got all the tracks finished, got a nice mix, and then John came down and I think we laid the vocals for that whole album in a day. That's one thing about John Edmund in the studio. He works so quick and so fast and so accurately. But me, as a producer on that album, it was just such an honor to have him and me directing him, and like I say, we got all the vocals done in a day. We spent about 2 days mixing the album, and it was in the bag. And I'm so, so proud to say, as one of the pinnacles in my career as a record producer, because that album went on to be the number one album in Zimbabwe for over 2 years. So that was a really, really, really great achievement for all of us. The second album that was entrusted to me was a really great mixture of songs that John had written and taken some other, well, not traditional, but songs composed by some great African composers, and the album was called Born in Africa. Now, by this time, Costa had to move out of his studio, so we hired a studio in Houghton, a really lovely little studio called Cube Studios, and we set to work, got all the demos in, and we were doing it on the same sort of format where once we had laid a track down, we'd just send it back to John on cassette, and he'd say, I love it, or change this, or don't do that. But most of the time, everything that we did was fantastic. But on this particular album, we just had some really, really great players on it. It was Costa on bass, myself on guitars, the great Peps Kotamotse on keyboards, and the one of South Africa's greatest singers was Mr. Ronnie Joyce. And we got Ronnie to do all the very, very high harmony parts that you hear on that album. And Ronnie just really pulled everything out of the bag on that. And then one of the other great players on Born in Africa, I managed to secure the services of Mr. Sipho Bengu, who was the lead saxophone player for the great South African band Mango Groove. And Sipho came in and he was just such a great muso to work with. We had a lot of laughs with him and he just played, we played penny whistle and tenor and baritone saxophone. So please, you guys have got to listen to Born in Africa. What a great album and a collaboration of some really, really great musicians. The following album was really a nice album because John or Dad had gone back to writing about Rhodesian stuff, and the album was called Friends, Roadies and Countrymen. Now at this stage, the new format of recording had just come in, which was digital, so there was no more tape. And we just thought, oh, we had a few budget constraints and we couldn't really afford to go back to Cube Studios or another studio to do the production we wanted on this album. So Dad said, well, why don't you come record it up at Kunkuru? So we thought about it and Costa and I said, yeah, that'll be easy. So we loaded all the recording studio equipment into the car, drove up to Kunkuru, and John and Teresa had a really, really nice conference room called the Pioneer Room. And we set all the gear up. It took us like 2 days. We did some sound checks and it was just such a great recording experience to record up where Dad was. And even the vocal booth, went into one of the chalets, grabbed three mattresses, and we built a nice little vocal booth. And the sound that we got out of that little makeshift vocal booth was fantastic. But this album was sort of a different concept because Dad was there all the time. So it was great. We had laid something down. He had come in. Yeah, I like that. Or let's change this. So we had a lot more a collaboration with Dad in this album. And it really, really turned out to be a great bunch of songs. Also, the players on there were still Peps on keyboards, Cozzy on bass and guitars, and myself on guitars and harmonies and everything. And it really turned out to be a really, really great album. The next album was quite a change in direction because John, being an avid bush pilot at the time and owning a flying lodge, decided he wanted to write, do an album all about aviation. So I was tasked with producing this album. Now by this time, Costa had moved into another studio and was working with another company. And I had set up my own studio in Kempton Park. So it was also a great little studio. And proceeded to do the production on this album myself. And it was really, really great. Some really nice songs. We did a couple of really nice cover aviation songs, and John wrote some fantastic stuff on this album. But I think one of the highlights was there was a really great little aviation song in the 67, it came out by the Royal Guardsmen, and the song was called Biplane Evermore. And on this particular song, I've got my young son Ryan, who must have been about 5 years old, and my daughter Kelly was about 7, and they came and they sang with their grandpa on that track Biplane Evermore. Anyway, it turned out to be a really, really great album, and the aviation community really, really took to it. But like I say, a great album, even if you're not an aviator, it's still a fantastic album. The following album I'd by then relocated down to KwaZulu-Natal. I was living in Padfield Park near Kloof, and I set up a great little recording studio, and Dad said, I've written another Rhodesian album and I'd really like you to do it. And I was so honored to be able to do this album called Heritage. Now, for this particular album, I had a production partner down there, a chap by the name of Colin Sumner, who has probably been one of the most finest arrangers and musicians in South Africa. And we collaborated on this album, and it just came out so, so nicely. So by now, we had internet in those days, so it was a little bit easier, because John was still up at Kunkuru, I was down in Durban, so Colin and I would do the same thing. We'd layer all the tracks, send it up to him on the internet, so we got an instant answer. And same thing, man, I think we just all thought alike on this particular album, but there were some really fantastic songs on it. And once we had everything in the bag, in the can, so to speak, John and Teresa came down and spent a couple of days with us in Durban. And yeah, exactly, same thing, John working in the studio, what an absolute pleasure, what an absolute professional. Came down, I think we layered all the vocal tracks and all the harmony tracks on this album also in about a day and a half, mixed it while he was down there, it was in the bag, and off we went, and that was Heritage. So after the Heritage album, I had decided to emigrate to the UK, and Dad went back to Costa, and collaborated, and Cozzy produced quite a few more albums for Dad. So it's really been great talking to you about the wonderful time as John's producer. I had so much fun, I've learned so much, and it was such an honor for me to produce some of his really, really great albums. And so have a listen back to the podcast and go through all the albums. You can download them on John's site or on Spotify. You can watch them on YouTube, or you can buy the albums, the physical albums, which is great. And I think buying the albums is really fantastic, because all the cover, it's got all the musicians that played on there, what all the songs are about. So guys and girls, go back, have a listen to all the albums I've spoken about. And thanks once again for letting me talk to you, and hope you go back and listen to all the great songs that John's produced over the years. Once again, myself, Grant Edmund, thank you so much for listening to me. And this is me. Stay warm, stay safe, and signing off.
Thanks, my boy. That was great. In closing, may I remind you all to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Keep an eye on my website. And should you want any of my music, it's available on most popular music platforms. Till next time, it's goodbye from Africa with Totsiens Salagashle and Zwakanaka.